Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into the next tier of the tight end position. So I want to include, we'll call this the Andrews tier, multiple top six finishers under 28 years old. That should be like a ding, 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 ding tier of like, hey, we should target these guys. Mark Andrews and Austin Hooper. One of these things is not like the other. Andrews is definitely... mega ceiling. Obviously, we saw that this year. And I think you look at these, and it's these are becoming less and less surprising as we sort of understand the data that we're working with more and more. And I think, like, as we sort of go through and understand the types of bets we want to make, I think that, especially in premium formats, I think that that's in particular true. Is the more we are understanding, you know, some of these profiles, some of these ceiling situations, 99% target share on 99% tile routes run per target, right? That TPRR, right? That targets per route run, 99th percentile in terms of yards per route run. Like these things are, they jump out, right? And they should, right? And that's a definitely an Andrews thing. So when you see those types of situations and you see those types of numbers, and the volume goes up, like, this is what can happen. So Goddard would be, I think, the next comp to that, and we'll cover him in a future one, in a future show. It's not going to be today, but in a future show. I think he's one you look at that, and it's really interesting. Austin Hooper, I think a lot of it is not playing a ton, in terms of, they do focus the position, towards Joku, right? They run a lot of three tight end action. So maybe not necessarily playing that much is probably the fairest way to say it. Just not being a focal point of the offense is probably a better way to describe that. So that would be the knock-on that I would have on Hooper. I think Hooper, as we sort of go forward, I think he's an interesting one contractually, and if he landed someplace else, right? So I think that would be something that he's probably good enough to start someplace, and maybe he's a different version of a guy like Hunter Henry, for example, probably older. You look and they could save, a couple million cutting him this year. The number does go way up on the cap, but they only save $2 million by cutting him this year. They'd save, almost six cutting him next year. So not sure where they're going to fall in line there. He's worth about $5.5 million is according to over the cap. There is a little bit of uncertainty. Maybe there's a reworking, something like that. We'll see. I think that's a news item I think I'm going to be watching for as we sort of go along. There's no guaranteed money in that contract, so in that contract left. So I do think, that'll be cap management type stuff or extension type stuff. We'll see there. I think his is going to be a situation definitely watch, especially when you think about, hey, they might have to go out and spend on Joku, right, if they want to bring him back. So you sort of look at that, and they're going to do both. I don't know. It'll be a tough situation for them to do both. When you look at him, he's very much, he blends in. Ultimately at the position, when you look at like expected points per game, for example, on Austin Hooper, it's 25th, and he underperformed that. So again, that's not really great in terms of where he's at. The other thing that I would say about him is, if you're looking and you're saying, all right, what's the potential upside from a guy like Austin Hooper? Well, we've seen multiple top six finishes out of him. That would be a thing that we have seen, and we could say, hey, there's maybe some more of this potential of maybe not necessarily top six, but top 12. Like, he had the skill to do that. I think, you know, routes per drop back is probably the big thing with him. 51% of dropbacks he ran a route on. That's not good. The expected, he had underperformed yards per route run expectation as well. He was expected for 1.35. He was able to generate 1.14. Again, 19% of his routes he was targeted on. So that's a decent number. I mean, you can sort of accumulate your way. That profile, like his routes per drop back is really the difference between like him and a guy like Logan Thomas, right? Logan Thomas last year, just basically they ran a ton of plays. He ran basically all of them. And at that yards per route run, right, he was a big producer. The difference between Austin Hooper and Logan Thomas from last year is the outright different volume. So that would be the cause for concern that I would have. Again, if you put him in a situation where, you know, I don't know, like in Houston, and he ran 650 routes, like he could absolutely produce a top 8 finish again. So that would sort of be the thing that I'd look for. It's probably not going to happen to him ceiling-wise in Cleveland. If he went someplace else, I would find that really interesting. So I think that's the skinny there on Austin Hooper, 26th in routes run at the tight end position. So just not a lot there in terms of ceiling to look forward to. All right, next tier up, and these aren't chronological. So if you're following along, these aren't chronological on the actual tier sheet. They're different tiers because I think they fit in asset-wise a little bit better. So Kyle Pitts, TJ Hockenson, Evan Ingram, Robert Tonyan, Hayden Hurst, and David Njoku. So when you look at this, I mean, let's just start with Hockenson. I think Hockenson is one. So there's a couple of things with Hockenson that I think are different points, right? So 1.46 is his career yards per route run. That's 80th percentile. There's just not a ton of ceiling there, right? So when you look at the guys that have ceiling, it's the top 5 to 10 percentile guys. It's not guys that are sort of languishing in the mid, you know, in the middle there at like 1.4, 1.5 yards per route run. You really need ceiling guys of that. So that would be the big thing that I would say. I would say the amount of routes he's actually targeted on is 20.4%. That's 90th percentile, so top 10% of guys. So that's pretty good. But I think you could sort of, you know, if you were to say to me, hey, you know, what's the indicator that, you know, that he's playing, you know, he's just an aggregator in a crummy offense. It's probably that. The other one would be like, all right, well, what's he doing? You know, what's he actually produce in terms of catching the ball? You know, actually, all that stuff, like he kind of middles a little bit. You know, that would be the big difference that I would say there. So, I'm interested, but probably not at like a top 6 cost. And I think I thought we were going to get a breakout. I thought we were in the midst of a breakout early on this season. And as we sort of saw, it came back down a bit. I think could he finish out and be more of a, and again, I think sort of the difference between me now in February of 2022 and me and, well, I don't know, let's call it like June, July, August of last year, is we kind of understand the tight end position a little bit more nuanced, which is need a lot of routes, kind of understand how yards per route run, targets per route run, and just sort of route volume interact. And I think with Hockenson, where he's going to come up short is going to be on the side of, I just don't think he's that level of a player. And I think the one thing that I've learned, if I've learned anything in this, it's as you, if you see it through a year, if you see it through 2 years, that it's kind of telling you who the player is, right? And when you see those couple of years, like it kind of gives you an indication. So if there's not a huge ceiling there in terms of some of those efficiency stats, there's probably not a huge ceiling that they're going to realize. They're not going to take a huge jump. So guys perform within a range, and it kind of goes up quick to the range they're going to be at or near. And then that's kind of where they stabilize out at, more so than, you know, we see like a gradual incline. That's something. So I don't project a ton of growth out of a guy like Hockenson. I don't think he's ever going to be Kittle, right? I mean, that's just a huge, huge difference. So that's the big problem with him. Evan Ingram obviously coming up on free agency. So, you know, could he land someplace better? Like, that would certainly be interesting. I would be, you know, I'm thinking like 1 year deal. That would be kind of what I would be looking for with him. He does have a hit on his resume. It is a top six hit, but he will be in his late 20s now, right? He's going to be 28 next year. So you are looking at these guys, and they're sort of on the, you know, on the long end, which is kind of wild, considering that they haven't really been in the league for too long, considering I saw them, you know, I covered their rookie classes, right, which I haven't been doing this too long. So to see them sort of on second contracts and being in their late 20s, it's totally different there for him. When you look at a guy like Ingram, you know, he fits a little bit in the Hockenson sense. Like, he's worse on a per route run basis than Hockenson in terms of yards per route run. He's at 1.36, so that is down. He's actually below Hooper. Him and Joku look kind of similar in that range. You know, we're looking at, you know, in the 60th percentile or so. Again, not a ton of ceiling comes from there. When you look at the other guys, like, I think Ingram's interesting on how much of his routes he's targeted on. So 19.5% of his routes he's targeted on, that's 86th percentile. So you could say, okay, that's kind of interesting. He just hasn't really done it. And he's been more of a focal point of the offense than some of these other guys. I think that would be the thing that you'd say about him. He just hasn't really done it. Which I think is you're kind of balanced between. So that would be my sort of thoughts on him. Joku, I know that some here like Joku, and I understand why. What I will say about Joku is I have a little bit of caution and concern with him based on his, you know, just his career profile doesn't stick out in an elite way. I know he had a big, year this year in terms of yards per route run and the like. That said, I am skeptical, I think is the word I am more than anything. I'm skeptical about him taking a big jump at this point in his career. He has already done it. Yes, that is good. But he is very much, it blends in and it doesn't show elite signals. I would say the thing you could point to is say, all right, well, you know, he had some elite athleticism and the like, and he was in a crowded situation. You could say that this is by far his best year is what I would say, in terms of like his efficiency stuff. So that's a good sign. But again, his best year is still middling at the position, right? So that would be the thing that I would say about him that gives me some pause. I understand the appeal of him, and I think if he's going to make a big time difference, it's got to be now. And he has enough. He's got the hit on his resume, so you could say, all right, like, you know, maybe this goes in a better situation. He probably is hitting free agency in a better spot than a guy like Jonnu Smith is, like Gerald Everett is, right? He's a more interesting free agent in that sense, but I'm not sure I necessarily want to pay top notch cost for him, just because his stuff doesn't really stick out as much as we might hope. So 71st percentile in terms of targets per route run, 66th percentile in his career in terms of yards per route run, and that kind of blends in. So that's my concern there. Andrews, as we talked about, is elite. Hayden Hurst is an interesting one for free agency. 1.21 yards per route run. That's right at about the median. Same with his targets per route run. You know, the percentage of his routes he's actually been targeted on. More second string guy, something like that. You know, is he a... a second contract guy that could maybe, I don't think Eric Ebron necessarily, but, you know, someone, maybe a lesser version of Eric Ebron, honestly, would be interesting for him. I don't know if he's going to walk into a day one spot. a day one starting spot. But if he was like sort of the backup to somebody, that was an unclear situation, that would be a little bit more interesting for me. I'm not going to be super, super interested in him landing in free agency. In terms of it being like a top 15 guy, for example. And then Robert Tonyan's in this range. Again, he's pretty middling in terms of his numbers, and obviously coming off an injury, obviously coming up with the Rodgers shenanigans here, if you will. And so I think we have to sort of measure all those things. And you know, what's his value going to be like? Well, it's probably going to be somewhere in the mid to late teens, in the early 20s. I mean, this is a dangerous thing about a profile like his, is it gets really, it can go haywire kind of quickly and in the wrong direction. I understand the need to take a ceiling bet with him, but that's kind of what you're getting into when you get a bet there with him in a profile like that kind of later on in a career. All right, now last but not least here for this tier is Kyle Pitts. And Pitts, so I've actually been going through and I've took some notes on Pitts just because I wanted to, like, this probably was around like Thanksgiving time. Like, I was like, I just wonder contextually sort of where he's at. It's obviously he's awesome. Like, he's a really good player. And I wanted to see sort of, hey, what's the, you know, in terms of, you know, rookie context, right? And I know there's a lot of, he's the best tight end ever. And I wanted to sort of get, an idea of if that was true or whatnot. So when you look at, when you look at where Pitts is, he comes in just below Mike Ditka's number in basically three more games. Ditka had 1076. Pitts had 1026. So it's one of the funniest things, I think, from my this year was someone had said to me, it was really derogatory. It was interesting. They said something to the effect of, it was like well before the end of the season, he's got the most yards for a tight end ever. And I was like, that's not even close to true. I think like at the time he had like the fourth or fifth most. And if you look, like, there's some guys in there like Keith Jackson, Charlie Young, like John Mackey were sort of in that range. Evan Ingram's actually in that range too. He's I think seventh or so in terms of that. And so I was like, well, he's not yet, but he's got a good chance to do so, but he's just not yet, you know. And so when you look at it on a per game basis, like, he looks a lot like Shockey. Shockey played 15 games, had one less yard, receiving yard per game. Similarly, low touchdowns, which is interesting. Shockey had a lot more targets, so Pitts more efficiency, but it's a more efficient passing game, right? So you sort of have those balances. Again, it's tough to contextualize these things. Excellent year, but I just said, you know, let's be careful saying he's the best rookie tight end ever, because he wasn't, right? That just wasn't true. Did get by a landslide, I think. He had 16 more receiving yards per game. He had 12 touchdowns. I mean, he's just an absurd producer. So, and again, it drew a whole, you know, and I drew a whole bunch of reaction from people who, and I didn't know that people actually had shadow accounts or like hidden accounts or whatever. Like, it was a really interesting experience because I got inundated with them. But yeah, so he comes in just short. So, of that. So, but again, excellent season. So, for what that's worth, 97th percentile in terms of yards per route run for a career. That's guys over 200 routes. I just sort of wanted to take out some of the low career guys, you know, the guys that run 25 routes in their career. I just sort of wanted to eliminate them. But over two is outstanding. You know, you're looking top 5%. It's great. 21% of his routes he was targeted on, actually 21.1%, 92nd in terms of percentile. So, so he fits in, again, right up at the top at the position there. We could sort of, the one thing I would say is when you look at what his opportunity was, it's a different opportunity than guys have done in the past. He's both more efficient for sure than some guys, right? And some of the yards per route run stuff gets really good. Like 2.02 is excellent. Don't forget he ran 508 routes, which I'm going back to 2006, I believe, was when PFF's data started in terms of yards per route run. He had the most of a tight end, rookie tight end. So just sort of when you keep the, you know, and so the closest comp to him in terms of just overt routes would have been Ingram, and he smashed Ingram by more than a half a yard per route run. So just to give you an idea, like his closest comp in terms of usage is really Ingram, and it's a smashing difference. So you actually look back, Hunter Henry in 2016 had 1.98 yards per route run on 241 routes. There's some other guys. Zach Ertz, 1.92 yards per route run. I think the best one, probably, I think the best rookie season ever, we'll get to it in a minute, is actually Jordan Reed in terms of just like on a per efficiency basis. He was really good at 2.21 yards per route run. So if you just put that in today's NFL, like you're already up to, that would be basically tied for second in the NFL this year for guys' yards per route run. So just that's an enormous difference there. Gronk really good at 2.0. 1.91 for Hernandez as well, going back. Zach Miller didn't run that many routes. It was back in 2009, but 1.98. He ran like 107 routes. So those are really the notable guys that have really stuck out. Albert O on 53 routes, 2.28 yards per route run. So, again, there's good careers there. It's not anything close to a certain bet would be, I think, what I would say. Andrews is a really good comp, too. 2.01 yards per route run on 274 routes. So those, you know, you look at those and you say, all right, like some good careers in there. I do think Pitts, right, obviously trending in the right direction. Ultimately, I think the tight end position, and maybe it's the way some of these guys have played it in the past, is a position you get caught up in a little bit. So that would be the other thing that I would say. The only pause that I would say about the tight end position generally is you can get, you know, scheme changes, that sort of thing. But listen, if you're going to be Pitts and you're going to play outside a lot, you know, he did play outside 34%. He was in the slot 43%. So when you look at that, I mean, that's close to basically 78% of the stuff is basically outside of you know, outside of traditional like inline tight ends. So that's a pretty low number. That actually mirrors what Andrews is. Andrews played in the slot a little bit more than Pitts did. Pitts played outside. You know, it was only 16% for Andrews. It was 34% for Pitts, but they played the same 21.9 inline for Andrews, 21.8 inline for Pitts. So very similar in terms of that. Again, one splits out more, one doesn't. So I think they're a really interesting comp for one another, especially when you look at some of their stuff on a, you know, coming in as well and in this era. So I think that those are the things, like as we sort of try and contextualize him, I think Andrews is a really interesting comp for him. When you look at Andrews, I would say that Andrews coming in, right? So Pitts had a better rookie season in terms of yards per route run by basically 0.05 of a yard per route run. So that's, again, they're really good. And then it becomes very much a volume thing, right? And we see by 209 more routes this year than Andrews had ever run before. Right? That's where the big jump comes in. So these guys, a lot of volume wise anyways. And so that's, when you look, Andrews never worse than 1.86 yards per route run. You know, and this fits basically as this Pitt season is the median yards per route run season for Andrews. So really, really good start to the career. We look back at some of the guys historically, greater than 20% of their routes that they've been targeted on, right? So that you look at that and think of you know, how much of the offense were you involved in. And it is, I think I said this earlier, I think one of the best seasons for a tight end ever really ends up being Jordan Reed. 26.1% of his routes he was targeted on, 2.17 yards per route run, just smashing in terms of that. He's the best of guys that had more than 20% of their routes that they were targeted on as rookies with 200 or more routes. He has the best yards per route run, so that's excellent. Ertz comes in as well at 22%. By way of context, Pitts is at 21.06%. So guys ahead of him include Reed, Ertz, Zach Miller, Dustin Keller, John Carlson. Actually, Evan Ingram comes in just ahead of him. Aaron Hernandez, Jason Morrow, actually, interestingly, came up really early on in terms of that stat. He didn't follow it up with the yards per route run stuff. Clive Wolford is actually in there right around where Pitts was in terms of the amount of his routes he was targeted on. Brandon Pettigrew, Gronk. So he actually fits between Brandon Pettigrew and Gronk in terms of the highest percentage here. So we're looking top 10 for a rookie of all time in terms of that stat, going back to, I guess, 2006. So was when the data began. So really, really good. When you look at the yards per route run, again, there's a couple of guys sort of in his range. Gronkowski would sort of be one to point to. Jordan Reed would be sort of one to point to. Again, Andrew is not in this same target percent of his routes that he's actually targeted on. But when you look at that, it's some interesting stuff. When you sort of look forward in terms of these guys, you would think, hey, huge seasons. 8 out of the 12 of them hit in the next 4 years. So basically years 2 through 5 of their career, 50% of them hit for a top 6 seasonal finish the next 4 years. So that's 6 out of the 12 guys that have accomplished this. So really good stuff. Again, this was through week 14 that I actually did this and I actually looked at some of this data. At that point, basically Pitts had come down just a little bit in terms of the percentage of his routes he was went up just a little bit. He was at 20.7, he's up to 21.1, and then he actually jumped up a little bit end of the season yards per route run. So he closed really strong in terms of these, because I remember when I was doing this, I was like, oh, he's gonna come in lower, I think, than people might expect contextually wise, but really jumped at the end of the season. So that was good. I think that's he's definitely put himself right there amongst the elites. But I would just say, like, an elite start. Again, I think he's good, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to poo-poo this. But people are trying to say that he is, a Christ-like figure. And I would just be careful about that. I think the comp that you could say is, these guys didn't come from the same pedigree that he did, which I think would be fair. But you look, Brandon Pettigrew was a high pick as well and sort of started well in one of these metrics and not both of them. Jordan Reed, obviously, is the injury thing. Ertz, right? I think Ertz is probably a good comp for him. Zach Miller, similar as well. Like, that would be and Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, I think, would be the two guys, the group of guys that really, really did it well up there in terms of both yards per route run and percentage of routes they were actually targeted on. So some good stuff there. I always like to look at these and get some contextual things for him. I think him and Andrews are the two best arguments for tight end one. I don't think I think people will take Pitts over Andrews. I think if you were to say, hey, what's the safer bet? It's probably Andrews just because we've seen it more. I think we have a little bit better understanding of what their offense is going to look like. Again, I'm picking nits at this point, so just for what that's worth. He had more targets per game as well this year, so that's something different. The team dropbacks, you could say, hey, that maybe we actually hold that against him in terms of how many dropbacks that they did. It was a ton of them. But he, what's curious with Andrews, and as I'm looking at these, he actually ran routes on less dropbacks than Pitts did. So there's an interesting dichotomy there in terms of all that. But Pitts ran route on 80.6% of dropbacks. So interesting stuff there. Again, we're just picking nits, and I just wanted to sort of give some historical context to the Pitts discussion, just because I think it matters. I think both these guys up at the top, if you want to take Pitts over Andrews, I have no problem with it. If you want to take Andrews over Pitts, I wouldn't have any problem with that either. I think they're in a tier alone up at the top two. Just from an age base, too, like Kittle, I think you could say like Kittle, for volume and for age, again, I think if one of these guys were to be like the best tight end season ever, I think it's Kittle. But I just don't have the same confidence that that's like in his range from a volume perspective. So if that makes any sense, I hope I sorted that out. So really good. One other stat that I've been tracking that I think is interesting for, for Pitts and Andrews, Pitts 0.39 points per route run was his expectation this year. He underperformed that. Some of that's touchdown stuff. So 0.35 was actually his points per route run. Andrews was just more valuable. So 0.46 was his expected points per route run. 0.48 is actually what each one of his routes was worth. So I think when you look at that, that's a big, there's a difference there. In terms of both what the route was worth, in terms of what they did with it. Again, I attribute that more to the touchdown variance going against Pitts really than anything else. But again, I think it is worth noting that Andrews is coming from both a higher volume ceiling and the routes are worth just a little bit more as well. So for what those are worth, that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.